AudioTU.com,
the home of quality podcasts. Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 194 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and it's me on my own some this week. Something happened through the week. I was browsing Facebook, and I saw a photographer who I highly respect make mention of a technique. And he said, what is this black card technique that he had seen mentioned on a blog somewhere? And I was a little surprised that he was not familiar with the technique. And I thought, I wonder how many people are not. So this technique is called the black card technique. And it's been used by landscape photographers primarily as a poor man's way of doing a neutral density graduated filter. And so I thought I'd talk about it and just share the knowledge for anyone who hasn't used this technique and hasn't tried it and didn't know, you know, that you could even pull this off. Okay, so the idea of a neutral density filter, let's talk about just neutral density filters before we get to graduated stuff. The idea of a neutral density filter is that it is a thick, optically, not thick as in it's a very thick piece of, you know, perspex or glass or whatever, but it restricts the amount of light that comes through to the lens and therefore to the sensor of your camera. So the idea is that a neutral density filter will allow you to shoot with either a wider aperture or a slower shutter speed or a faster ISO for any given lighting condition, right? So as landscape photographers, there are, you know, many times where we want to be able to slow down the shutter speed. You know, we might be shooting a stream running through a forest and, you know, you want that nice creamy, silky look of water that's been exposed for a long time. And because you might be shooting in the middle of the day, you can't get a slow enough shutter speed in order to, you know, get that nice creamy look to the water. And so a neutral density filter is a great addition to your kit because it will allow you to, you know, depending on how many stops that filter is, slow down your shutter speed by that number of stops. I have in my kit a one stop, a two stop, and a three stop filter. But you can get what's called a 10 stop filter, and you can look around on Flickr and on Facebook, you'll see instances of, you know, these amazing shots of water that you can tell are taken in the middle of the day, and yet they have these, you know, this look to the water that just screams, you know, that this was like at least 30 seconds of exposure, and you're wondering, how on earth do you get 30 seconds of exposure in the middle of the day, you know, because it's not like I can go down to 25 ISO on my digital camera, because digital cameras just don't do that. That's where a neutral density filter comes in. So then you go to the next step, which is the idea of a graduated neutral density filter. These filters tend to have one half of the filter, you know, with this slight opacity to it. It's generally a grey so that it doesn't colour the light coming through it. And the bottom half of the filter is clear. So if you're trying to shoot, say, you know, a sunset or a sunrise where you've got a bright sky but a dark foreground, you would set up your neutral density filter so that the filter part of the neutral density graduated filter is over the top half of your frame where the bright sky is, and so that will reduce the exposure for that part of the shot, but the bottom half of the filter, which is clear, is just bringing in all the ambient light that's reflecting off the bottom half of the scene as you've composed it. This is where the beauty of a Kokan system reveals itself, because you don't have to have the graduated portion of the filter exactly in the middle of the frame. You know, with a bracketed system like the Kokan system, you can adjust the position of the filter up and down in the bracket so that you can move where that transition happens in your frame. You might want to put your, you know, horizon on one of the thirds, and so therefore you want your filter to be in that position as well. So that's the concept of a neutral density and a neutral density graduated filter. And if you've gone looking for these filters, you'll realize that, you know, particularly when you go looking for a 10-stop filter, they're not cheap. You know, you're generally looking around about $150 to $200 for a good quality 9 or 10-stop filter. And that's not graduated. They tend, at that end of the scale, they tend to be just a solid filter right across the whole of the filter. And unfortunately, Kokan don't do one. So all of the ones that I've discovered so far are all the screw-on type, which is not a big issue. You know, the only issue with, or where you'd really want, you know, a Kokan is if it was graduated so that you could move that position of the filter up and down in your frame. Okay, so let's suppose your budget doesn't quite run to spending, you know, $200 on a nice 10-stop filter. That's where the black card technique comes in. And basically the idea is that you can use any solid object, and preferably a dark object. So it doesn't have to be black, but it helps if it's a dark color, to block part of the frame while you've got the shutter open. So the idea is, you know, it could be a piece of paper, it could be a piece of cardboard, it could be, you know, I've heard of Mike Holman over there in New Zealand actually using his wallet as a black card for a, you know, poor man's filter in the past. But pretty much any flat and dark object will do the trick. Now, why is it important that it be a dark object? Simply because if it is a light-coloured object, it's going to reflect ambient light into your lens and counteract the effect that you're trying to achieve. By having it as a dark object, it's going to absorb more ambient light and therefore work more as a filter to block the light going into the lens. So how big does it need to be? Well, that depends on the focal length that you're planning on shooting with. If you are shooting with a wide angle lens, you know, like my 20mm wide on a 35mm frame, that means you either you need to have a fairly large piece of card or paper, or you need to stay fairly close to the lens at the time that you're doing it, right? Because as you move your hands further away, because obviously you're holding this, you know, quote-unquote black card, it may not be card, but you're holding it in your hand, and if you get too far out in front of your lens and you're shooting with a wide-angle lens, then your hand is going to appear in the shot. And the trouble is that once you've started the exposure, you're not actually going to be able to see what's in the shot and what's out of the shot. So there's a bit of a trickery that needs to go on here. The first thing to do would be, if you're going to try this technique out, would be to look at the scene in front of you, okay? And so let's say you're going to go out and you're going to shoot a landscape. What you would do is you would look at the scene in front of you and you go, okay, well, my sky is, you know, much brighter than my foreground. And so what you might do is meter for the sky and get an idea, and you might see that, you know, let's just pick some arbitrary numbers. Let's say you were going to shoot 8 seconds at f/16, you know, at 200 ISO, okay, and that would correctly expose the sky. It's obviously early in the morning or it's very late in the evening. And then you take another reading for the ground and you find that you need about 30 seconds for the ground because it's much darker than the sky. So what you would do is you would set your camera to manual exposure. So you'd dial in 30 seconds at f/16 and ISO 200. And then what you would do is start your exposure going, and then while the shutter is open, use the black card, whatever form of black card you might choose to use, and actually hold it in front of your camera, blocking the top half of the frame, or the top third of the frame, or the top two-thirds of the frame, depending on how you've chosen to set up your composition in the shot, over the front of the lens, so that it blocks the light coming into the lens while the shutter is open. Now, you're probably thinking, well, hang on, aren't I going to just end up with this massive black blob over the top of my frame? Well, no, you're not, because your black card is not going to be there for the entire duration of the shot. If we worked out that we needed 8 seconds for the sky and we need 30 seconds for the foreground, then we only need to block, you know, the top portion of the frame. Like I said, it might be a third, a half, two-thirds, depending on how you've composed, for 24 seconds, right? Because 8 seconds of exposure from the top half of the frame is going to be enough to render the sky perfectly. Now, I've done a few just test shots, because I'd heard about this technique, and I'd never actually tried it myself. And so I did a few test shots before I sat down to start recording this episode. But it is something that I want to go out and try, because I'd heard about it ages ago, and just never went out and shot it. And so hopefully this weekend I will get out and actually, you know, do one of these shots properly, and just see, you know, if I can get something that really works, that can demonstrate the technique beautifully. And then what I will do is post a, you know, with black card shot and a without black card shot to try and show you an A-B comparison. And I'll post those images. If I can get something done tomorrow, because it's Friday night as I'm recording this, then I will get those posted with the show notes on Sunday. So I'll do my best to have something to go along with the show notes for this episode, okay? So that's the concept of the black card technique. So if you haven't tried it, go out and give it a whirl. And if you have some success with it, and you manage to do an A-B, you know, where you shot one without it and then you shot one with it and you had great success, please, you know, send me copies of those images and I'll throw them up in the show notes next week so that we can, you know, start demonstrating what our listeners are achieving with their cameras again, because I feel like we got out of that habit a long time ago, and I sort of think we shouldn't have. So, and I'd love to get some emails too. I haven't had any emails for ages, and I do want to get back into the habit of, you know, a bit more conversation with the listeners rather than it just be me all the time or me interviewing someone, and the interaction between me and the listeners seems to have sort of died off a little bit. I mean, I talk to a lot of you on Facebook and things like that, but yeah. Anyway, so send the emails in, studio@audiotu.com will get me, and yeah. So anyway, one other thing I wanted to address before I closed off, you may remember, wow, probably, I don't know, I guess it'll be 2 years ago now, I suppose, I spoke with a guy called Rod Thomas, who is up here on the Central Coast. This is while I was still living in Sydney. And Rod was in the process of setting up a distributorship in Australia for F-stop camera bags. And for the last couple of years, Rod has been doing that. And for his own reasons, he's decided that he's not going to continue it. And as it happens, he still has not heaps, but he has a few F-stop bags left in his collection of display stock that he's looking to get rid of. And so I told him I'd do him a favor and give it a shout out on the podcast. So if you haven't looked at F-stop bags, I definitely recommend it. The website is fstopgear.com. Go and have a look at the sorts of bags they do, and on each product page you'll see that they have it's kind of like a light box thing that pops up, and it's what they call a workbook for each bag, and it's like a multi-page document that explains all of the features of each of the bags. And if you have a look at them, they are absolutely gorgeous bags. And I've actually just bought one off Rod myself. And because he's got this stock and he's trying to get rid of it, he has reduced the price on the stock. So if you are looking for a bag to add to your kit, or you're just looking for a new bag, you know, to replace your old one, definitely have a look on the F-Stop Gear website. But then give Rod a call And when I spoke with him last weekend, I said, are you okay with me mentioning your mobile number on the podcast? And he went, yeah, go for it. So if you're in Australia and you would like to grab one of these F-Stop bags from Rod, give him a call on 0417 677 966. Failing that, you can go to his website, which is rodthomas.com.au. I'll have a link in the show notes. And he's got a contact page on there, so you'll be able to contact him through there. But basically, I think he's knocking about 20% off the retail price of all of these bags. And the only reason I went and got one was because I've still got my Lowepro Pro Roller bag, which I absolutely love. Don't get me wrong, I do love that bag. But as a family, we've just discovered the whole of the outdoors thing. You know, I took Max camping over the Christmas break and we had such a great time. We're just in the process now of changing over our car. You know, we've had the Mazda 6 for 5 years and we're buying a brand new Nissan X-Trail. So we're going to go do some four-wheel driving and, you know, getting out into the bush a little bit more, which I'm so, so excited about. And so I wanted a bag, even though the Lowepro does have straps, you can set it up as a backpack. The problem is I never take anything out of that bag. So everywhere it goes, it's got every piece of kit I own in it. And so it weighs, you know, about 13 kilos. And I don't really want to go on a bushwalk with 13 kilos of camera gear on my back all the time. So I rang Rod up and I said, hey, you still doing F-Stop bags? And he said, yeah, but I'm getting out of it. And he said, yeah, if you're after something, I'll do you a deal. And so we got talking about it. And I said, well, look, you know, basically I want something like an F-Stop bag that, you know, is primarily a backpack that's designed for camera gear. That will, you know, I can just move a few pieces of gear into that bag temporarily if I'm going out bush for the weekend, going camping, so I can, you know, go off on a bushwalk with this backpack on my back, you know, and it's designed as a backpack rather than a, you know, a roller bag that has been converted to a backpack. And I can, you know, throw that on my back and I can have a water bottle in it and I can take some food in it and I can, you know, pack clothes in it if I need to, you know, basically, you know, a good hiking backpack. And so I've picked up the what's called the Tolopa BC, which I think is short for backcountry. I might be wrong. Rod set me straight there. Great bag. Normally retailed, I think Rod said about $430. So he gave me good discount off that. Sounds a lot, yes, I know, but any good camera bag will be up in that price range. And there are smaller bags than the Tolopa, and I think there are actually bigger bags than the Tolopa. The one I got is a 48-litre bag, and absolutely love it. And I've actually taken to using that as my everyday backpack when I go to work, because I'm the worst proponent of all, because I've never got a camera with me, you know, and everyone says, you know, you've got to take a camera with you everywhere you go. So if you see something, you're prepared, you know, and I've not been in that habit. So these days I'm taking that to work every day. And so I've got my, you know, my Alpha 850 with me everywhere I go. So anyway, check out Rod's site, check out the fstopgear.com website, have a look at the bags. And if you are in the market for a bag, give Rod a call. I'm sure he'd love to hear from you. Okay, that will pretty much do it for this week. Love to hear some emails from people, or you can buzz me on Facebook if you're a friend of me on Facebook. And give me some ideas of where you would like this podcast to go from here on. I mean, I'm happy to discuss techniques that I've learned, whether from Shelton or from somebody else, but I think that's only going to carry us so far. If there are people you would like to hear me interview, let me know who they are and I'll do my best to line them up. Or if you've got any other ideas for what you think this podcast should become, sans Shelton Muller, give me a yell. I'm open to ideas. All right, that'll do it for this week. Look forward to those emails and talk to you soon. Cheers.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email studio@audio2you.com.